In the name of Jesus, in the confession of sins we use in divine service setting 3, we call ourselves, name ourselves as poor, miserable sinners. Now, I think we all have an understanding of what the word miserable means. If you wake up in the middle of the night with an awful toothache that's pounding and it feels like your jaw is about to explode, you might describe yourself as miserable. If you've got a bad case of the flu, chills racking your body, sneezing, coughing, your diaphragm is sore, your joints are sore, every time you get out of bed your head swims, you might use the word miserable to describe your condition. Waking up after a surgery, a major surgery, and they've forgotten to give you the pain medication you need. You feel the full brunt of the pain, and you are miserable beneath that load of pain. But the word miserable in the confession that we said today has an added shade of meaning. I am a poor, miserable sinner who needs the mercy of God. A miserable person needs mercy. Be it the mercy that comes from the nurse giving you the pain medication that should have been given you hours before, due to the mercy that the dentist provides by removing the tooth that is abscessed and causing you such agony, receiving mercy by being finally brought through the discomforts and the pain and the general yuckiness of the flu. Well, we are miserable in this fact. We each need the mercy of God. Our liturgy reminds us of that. The word mercy or merciful is used twice on page 184 in our collect for the day. The word mercy was used. In the Kyrie, the Lord have mercy, the word mercy is used 3 times, and so on into the Gloria in Excelsis. Have mercy upon us, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sin of the world. Have mercy upon us, thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father. We poor, miserable sinners need mercy, and not just anyone's mercy will do. The mercy we need is the mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, because we have offended Him with our sins. We have strayed away from Him through our sins. We have wandered away into a destructive place. A destructive place that, should we remain there, would result in our being in hell, forever separated from God. But did you notice how all 3 of our readings from Scripture today speak of the mercy of God? Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in steadfast love, in mercy. He will again have compassion on us, have mercy upon us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all of our sins into the depths of the sea. It is the merciful God who does this, who does this for his own sake and for our sake, because we could never earn that mercy. And then St. Paul, in the epistle reading, speaks of his former life before he was converted, brought to faith by Christ himself, who appeared to him on the road to Damascus. Paul confesses of himself, "Formerly, I was a blasphemer, I was a persecutor, I was an insolent opponent. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And so the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus." Paul goes on to say, "This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost." And then once again he hits us with this word mercy. "But I received mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience." And then we have mercy played out in the flesh before us in today's gospel reading. And we have an example set before us. The example of either trusting in our own goodness and thinking, deceiving ourselves into believing that we have no need of mercy, or numbering ourselves as among the tax collectors and the sinners who were all drawing near to hear Jesus. It was at a meal. Jesus was sitting there at a table with tax collectors, with notorious sinners. And the Pharisees and the scribes, Jesus' enemies, were looking on, standing at a distance, grumbling among themselves, as the people of Israel frequently grumbled against Moses and against God in the wilderness. Listen to how resentful they are. "This man," actually it says "this fellow," because in the Gospels, Jesus' enemies never refer to him by name. "This fellow receives sinners and eats with them." How scandalous. "That woman seated two to his left is a prostitute. She slept with every man in the village. Why, I think I heard she even slept with you, Mordecai." And the tax collector right next to Jesus, he has taken more money working for the Romans. Money he didn't deserve, money he didn't earn. He lined his own pockets with money he has taken from our people. He is working for the people who have a pagan, false god. And there Jesus is, there this fellow is, sitting with him, talking with him. Did you see that? He even laughed with this disgusting pack of sinners. Jesus knew all hearts. He knew what was in man. Nothing surprised him. Jesus knew that the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling against them, so he chose this opportunity to tell them a parable. "Mordecai, you, and Simon, and Shadrach, what man among you, if you had 100 sheep and lost one of them, would not leave the 99 sheep in the open country and then go after the one that is lost, searching until he finds it. And then, when he finds it, he gathers that sheep up and lays it across his shoulders, and he's rejoicing because that which was lost to him has been found. And what's more, when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors in assembly, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." In the same way, I tell you, Mordecai and the rest of you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. What did Mordecai and his friends have to repent of? They saw themselves as good. They saw themselves as being zealous in their adherence to God's law. They saw themselves as being holy, as being dedicated to God. They set themselves apart from the others and would not associate with people of lesser holiness or what in their eyes was no holiness at all. In fact, so holy were they that they didn't want to associate with Jesus either. They didn't want anything to do with him. Instead, they wanted him out of the way. And early on in his ministry, the Pharisees and the scribes began plotting together how to destroy Jesus. There was one difference between the Pharisees and the scribes and the tax collectors and the sinners who were drawing near to hear Jesus. The tax collectors and sinners knew how greatly they needed the mercy of God. They knew their sin. And they saw in Jesus a merciful, compassionate shepherd who did not turn his back on them, who did not chase them away, but rather by the word that he preached and taught, sought them out and drew them near and spoke words of compassion and kindness and mercy to them. And then there were the Pharisees and the scribes who needed Christ's mercy too, because the sin of self-righteousness is a hard nut to crack. And the person who is self-righteous needs to be brought face to face with his sinful state, hit over the head with the 2x4 of God's law, if you will, so he can see his need of God's mercy in Christ. "You should be rejoicing," Jesus could have said to the Pharisees and the scribes. "Look who are gathered here around me. It is people who were estranged from God. It is people who thought their sin was too great to draw near to God. It is the very people that you said had such great sin that they could not come to God. And yet here they are, avidly hanging on my words. They're repenting. Guys, you're seeing repentance right before your very eyes, and you stand there and grumble and complain against the mercy of God? Well, there may be no joy among you over these tax collectors and sinners who repent. But I tell you, Mordecai, and all the rest of you, there is joy in heaven over each one who repents, rather than over you 99 so-called righteous people who think you need no repentance. Jesus tells another brief parable to drive the point home, to show how beloved sinners are to God, how he wants to show his compassion and mercy to sinners. What woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp there in her dark home and take a broom and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? The coin isn't in the corner of a room somewhere behind a piece of furniture saying, "Here I am, come get me." Or the coin doesn't go rolling merrily across the floor to the woman and stop at her feet and say, "I found you." No, the woman searched for the coin. And in Jesus's parable, once she has found it, she's so overjoyed, she calls together her friends and neighbors in assembly saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." And again, Jesus says, "Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Luther said that when our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said to repent, he meant that every day that the Christian life should every day be one of contrition and repentance. Repentance is not just a one-time thing. Repentance is ongoing. And it can be ongoing. You can repent your sins because of Jesus, because of the mercy of God. When you confess your sins to God, be it here in the divine service, be it at night before you go to bed, God doesn't slap you down silly so that in the morning, if a family member should come in your room and find you, you would be bruised and battered, lying unconscious upon the floor. No, God has mercy so he can raise you up again to your high status as his child in Christ Jesus. God loves you. God rejoices over you. When you were baptized, God rejoiced. All the angels in heaven sang hip hip hooray in chorus. When you and I repent, it makes God happy because it's for our good when we recognize our lost condition and our need of God's mercy in Christ. But what especially delights him is that we're looking to his Son, Jesus, for the forgiveness of all of our sins. Jesus is the merciful one. He is the mercy and compassion of God incarnate. He came into this world precisely so that God could extend his mercy to sinners. And here's how you qualify for that mercy. By being a sinner. Luther said, "Sin boldly, to someone who is troubled by the weight of his sins. And Luther wasn't saying, go out and sin, you know, doing this, that, plundering, raping, pillaging, murdering, etc., etc. That wasn't what Luther was saying. But when you do sin, as you will sin, you can do so, you will do so, in the confidence that you have a God of mercy. And even if your sin should outnumber all the stars and planets in the universe, it can never outnumber the grace and mercy and forgiveness of God in Christ Jesus. Yes, you and I are sinners. We are great sinners, but we have an even greater Savior in Jesus Christ. And in Him, God's mercy, God's love, God's compassion, God's kindness, and God's salvation are extended to you freely, because God has mercy upon you. For the sake of Jesus, His Son. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Lord.